discuss one matter in executive session. That was a matter that touched on both contract negotiations and attorney-client privilege. I believe that no formal action will be taken now.
The executive?
And I should indicate the time is now 5:59.
Motion goes back to my regular.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Back into our workshop portion. Me and Sean, we discussed the contract, and the commission has come to the conclusion that we need to get the workman comp insurance and come back up with that, and then we will revisit.
I think that we need to get workman's comp and then come back with workman's comp.
Okay. Excuse me?
You're saying that we don't have employees, it's just kind of like.
But you're considered employees, and without the workman's comp, the city would be liable, and we, the commission, we do not feel comfortable putting the city in any position to be liable.
Okay. They don't want to be liable.
What about the council? Were there any other councilors or coaches?
Yes, but we were mentioning that they, on tax purposes, when they're paid less than $500 and then one summer, that they're not considered employees, and we hire out independent contractors is what Al's handled in Wildwood.
So are there any insurance liabilities on themselves? They have disclaimers of kind?
I think I have, because it's suffice for Bill Wallace, I've been doing it for most of the summer, so.
Our concern is the camp that we were going to host, that's part of our recreation department, they were so concerned over COVID that they canceled. So our concern is that someone in the camp, one of your staff, you want to call them employees, whatever you want to call them, either gets hurt or gets sick, and then they sue the city because we held a CERT camp, and they want us to reimburse them for their workman's comp. That's our concern. So we have, but we'd love to have a CERT camp here.
The wages aren't going to get good.
We'd love to have that at this time, but it's something that we can't put the municipality at risk because of an entity coming in to run a program doesn't have that insurance. We don't want to put that liability on our residents. That's the need.
Our labor have the COVID release in it.
Get the workman's comp and then we'll be okay. The contract will be fulfilled on our end. On your end for us to be comfortable.
Okay,
you know what?
I'm on a water layer that sometimes hearing like everything, so I'm out of
that. Okay.
Can this go out for a vote with the stipulation that we get the workers' comp, or we'll have to wait another however long?
There won't be a vote, but it is once you get workers' compensation insurance, we can sign a contract. There's no vote, it's just, it's contract.
Tim's talking. Yes, I can hear you.
Can you have them, are they at the microphone?
Yes. They can go to the microphone.
The microphone.
Dean, can you go to the microphone? Okay, who's there?
Yeah, so I was just curious if we could put out the vote with stipulation that when we get it, it can be put into place so that we don't wait for another meeting. If everything else is in place.
Tim? You able to hear that, Tim?
I was not.
Okay, what he's asking is, can we, if we vote on it tonight with the stipulation that they get the workman comp, once we get the workman comp, the vote's already done, so they won't have to wait 2 more weeks for another meeting.
That's correct. Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
That's what he's asking.
Yeah. And so the answer to that question is, you can't vote on it tonight subject to workers' comp, but it has to be workers' comp that is approved by the city and the city's insurance advisors. In other words, I don't want Dean to misunderstand, get a workers' comp policy, and have kids at the beach the next day before the city of Bender has reviewed it.
I'm sorry.
So it's got to be an approved workers' comp insurance policy. Can't just. This is really annoying right now. So it has to be approved by 10 in our insurance carrier.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to be able to bring here and they get approved. Yeah. And all that partial stuff about everything's clear, then I get that and I bring it together finally, then we're good to go.
Right, fine. Okay. Yes, we can do that. We can vote on it tonight. We don't have to wait for us to get into our regular meeting.
Yeah.
We'll vote and it'll be continued.
And I bring the workers' comp if you want, you prove it, we're good.
Before we go into it, I have one question for Tim. Tim, can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me, Tim?
Yes, I can.
Okay. We spoke briefly, and Dean answered the question, but I'd like to hear your answer to the questions. They have, knowing how the SERP camps work, there's a number of, we call them, in our SERP camp, instructors or camp counselors, they're saying that in their camp, their version of the camp, that they are paid, because of how much they're paid, they're not, their liability as it isn't the same as an employee, and that they would not need to be covered under workman's comp. Now, I understand that anybody can sue anybody for anything, but does that hold water in your mind as far as not requiring these camp counselors, which, how many of them do you have?
I just have one of those school board below.
I mean, for Ventnor, how many would you have?
How many here?
How many other associates would you have working with you at the beach in Ventnor?
It's just me and Sean for now, and then we hire, if we need somebody, we have some assistance on here for now.
So
we have a couple on one call.
Three or four or six?
And now we have two on call.
Two?
Yeah.
Two. So those other two individuals, they're saying would not be on this workman's comp. Is that satisfactory? Does that make sense?
And this, the way it works is we have...
Okay, sorry. Let me hear his answer.
Because I know that some businesses try to label employees as not employees, but as independent contractors. The most famous example of this is pizza delivery boys. For a long time, a lot of pizza places labeled them as independent contractors. The state came in and said, well, no, you can't do that. They're employees, and they must be covered under employees' compensation. So I'm certainly not going to say without knowing all the facts, yeah, that's okay, you can go ahead and do it. I think what you have to do is get a workers' compensation policy and list all those people. If there's some way that your insurance broker can discuss with us something else, I mean, we'll entertain that, but my position would be they have to be covered under the workers' comp insurance.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. So that's part of the requirement to that point. So they will do that as well, from your broker.
Okay, so call my insurance broker here. I got one.
Great.
Okay. All right, we're good?
We're going to proceed with the meeting.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so.
Can I ask a question while we're struggling with this Zoom and live meeting?
Yeah, we're going to turn it off.
I think part of the issue is these things as well. The recording that we do like a normal meeting. Because we're recording this on Zoom, do we also have to have that on as well? I don't know if it's a question for Tim or for Lisa. I don't know. Because it seems, I've done now probably 20 or 30 public hearings. Never had this issue. Never.
Just getting the
feedback.
Frequency, yeah.
And, you know, I've been, you know, granted, they're not both Zoom and this.
Jim's saying something.
Jim's trying to say something. Maybe he's answering your question.
The only thing that we would have to do for the next time is to get a microphone that feeds into the video tablet that I have there so that they can be heard. Because if there is audio, then it's done with Zoom as well as video.
Right.
As long as I can get a microphone and I got a couple of weeks to play with that. To get a microphone that would go out to the one that is where the public would speak so that they can be heard, should have no problem turning off the microphones, as long as Lisa's comfortable with that. And she does get an audio from Zoom, and I'll send that to her tomorrow. And I do have some software that I got that allows me to crop things out of, in and out of that audio feed. I'm working on, crop it out of the video feed, but I'm easily able to crop it out of the audio feed right now, so.
Okay, so we'll try that out, good night.
Yeah, this is really different.
I know.
It seems to be you should have one mic and one speaker for everybody, yeah, rather than all the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost worth going back to just doing the meetings without the Zoom.
Right.
We have cameras here, people can watch the meetings, yeah. Not. Why? It's a little bit delayed, right? As well.
Right. That's what we did first.
I agree. But I think when there's a big topic, like right now, we have only four people.
We did it last time when we did the live Facebook and people could send.
Right. That was a little cumbersome too with the delay. It was like a 2 minute delay.
What? I just want more people to be engaged. We always have, not everybody can make
it. I'm with you. I would love to see it as well.
And this is something that people are comfortable with. Everybody is using, so if we can figure out the technical side on our end, I think we should continue.
Well, I would rather than do this, I'd rather just go back to Zoom.
Right.
This is painful.
Right.
This is really painful. And I'm sure the people watching this are like, what the heck is going on?
Right.
They can't hear echoes, it's reverbs coming back at us.
Yep.
It's difficult to follow.
It is.
Yeah, so there's an echo going through there now that people are hearing.
Mr. Gerald is waving his phone.
Okay,
it's warning the legs. It's cutting out so visitors cannot.
Yeah. May we continue?
Yeah.
Yep, sorry.
That's okay. So for the items that we will be voting on tonight, we'll go through them and we will discuss them. The commission, this is the workshop part of our meeting. The first thing is we will have minutes from May 14th. Regular meeting, May 14th, executive meeting, May 28th, regular meeting, June 11th, regular meeting, June 25th, regular meeting, and June 9th, regular meeting. The next we will have the introduction of ordinance 2020. Ordinance introduction 2020-016, and that's establishing our 2020 salaries, compensation, salary ranges. Something that we do every year, and it just is, it is every title within the city of Ventnor and the range of salary beginning and start and end. For non-union people, the commission comes up with it. For union people, of course, they are contracted salaries through negotiated bargaining union contracts. Anything on that, commissioners?
Nope.
The next we're going to have two public hearings and then adoptions of ordinances. One is 2020-014. The first is about the clothing donation bins. And we talked about this last time. I don't know, Commissioner Landgraf, if you want to add a little color to it, or I think we've discussed it.
Yeah, I think just as an update, not an update, but a recap, I guess. We noticed that some of our clothing donation bins have been overflowing. It's unsightly. We're changing the ordinance that we will have some repercussions if that continues.
Great. Mr. Friedman, you okay with that?
Absolutely.
All right. The next will be public hearing and adoption of 2020-015, and that is the ordinance to be a vendor amending 72-6 beaches. This is allowing barbecues on our beach from June 1st to September 30th, and this was discussed at our last meeting, correct?
Correct.
Gas on.
Gas on. Okay, then we will have resolutions that we will vote by consent. And the first one is 2020-236. That is the city accepting the annual audit. Thank you, Al, and the finance staff. There were no findings. Am I correct?
No findings.
Which is a wonderful, that's what we call a clean audit.
All right.
Yes. Nice job, Al. Thank you.
Good news. Thank you.
The next is 2020-237, and that's the resolution authorizing us to close out an escrow account. I don't think there's any questions on that, correct? The next is 2020-238, and that is a resolution, increasing the bid threshold. Our governor on July 1st, 2020, increased the bid threshold to $44,000 if you have a qualified purchasing agent, which we do. Actually, we have three of them now. So that gives us a little more lead. Are we okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. The next is 2020-239, and that is authorizing final work change order for sanitary sewer water and drainage improvements on Kinsley Drive, Wellington Avenue, and Lafayette Avenue.
Just a little bit on that. Change orders back and forth. Some things we had to add, some things we had to take away. Overall result in just under a $15,000 reduction in the overall contract. That overall project's not quite finished. Coming back in the fall, we don't want to have the street dug up in the summertime. So we will be back in the fall to finish that project up.
Thank you. Next is resolution 2020-240, and that's a resolution authorizing us to close out another escrow account. We'll go with that?
Yes, that one is an increase.
The next is 2020-241, and that is authorizing a non-union part-time employee in our rec department for the summer, the salary adjustment of $1 an hour. Correct, Maria?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything on that? Mm-hmm. All right. The next is 2020-242, and that's authorizing approval to submit a grant application and execute a grant agreement with the New Jersey Department of Transportation, the local aid infrastructure application.
So that one is it's a continuation of the safe pedestrian and bikeway.
And it talks about road diet too, right?
Yeah, it talks about road diet. And Longport did it a few years ago. Margate is looking at it. And this will get a grant for us and Margate to study whether that's something that we would consider here or we should consider here in the city of Atlanta. And that's on Atlantic Avenue.
Yes, that's what I wrote and I couldn't understand my writing. Okay, and you go with that, Commissioner Friedman?
Yes.
Next is 2020-243, and this is a resolution authorizing the city for after-hours lifeguard emergency response. Go with that?
Yes.
Okay. The next is 2020-244, and that is the city accepting the resignation of Malika Lynn Allen. We go with that?
Yes.
The next is 2020-245, and that is authorizing the city for the kiosk is going up in our municipal lot, parking meters, and the timing. Is it 8 like the rest of our meters?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they were on meters, but it's now kiosks.
Yes, right.
Okay. Yeah, after October 1st, it goes down to 8 p.m. to 6 p.m. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
But now we need to eat, right?
Yep.
Okay. Going back, Commissioner Friedman?
Yes.
Yeah. The next is 2020-246, and that is the city authorizing the final work change order for the four pile repairs. There were two more piles that needed to be done, and there's an additional $4,600. Am I correct?
That's correct. Some of the piling underneath our boardwalk were starting to show their age. We installed pile caps, concrete caps on top of those to repair that.
Next is 2020-247, and this is a resolution authorizing the city to, hiring a temporary medical EMT for the city of Ventnor. Is this for the beach?
Yes.
Yes, right.
One guy got called up into the military.
All right, so we replaced the backfill.
Yeah.
Great. The next is resolution.
Sorry.
The next is resolution 2020-248. The resolution authorizing temporary employment, and this is the young lady that we're hired. Am I correct, Maria?
It's a gentleman.
Christina?
Christina is a gentleman.
Spelled wrong.
Okay.
2 times 1 day a week for the court.
This is the 1 day a week for the court.
Okay.
Okay.
And you should have another one for 2 times a month for the court.
Yes, because we are.
You just come back from today, so that'll be the next one.
The reason we're doing this, these people 1 day a week, is because the court has lost people from retirement, and by state mandate, we have to have a certain staffing level in there, so we need to get some help right now until other things are working on. Okay? Commissioners, do you want to add the surf camp as a by consent resolution or separate?
I think we should do that one separate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'll leave that out. Okay. So
what's that number? Just so I know.
That is 250. Okay. So they're the ones that we will vote on by consent. Then we will vote on the resolution for the vendor to approving an agreement and a contract with the surf school camp and the ocean safety instruction camp concession. And that will be 2020-250. We will vote on that separately, not the consent resolution. Okay?
Okay.
Then we will have approval of payroll and bills. Do we have any discussion items?
I save it for my commissioner comments.
Okay.
Same.
We're good? Okay. So now I'll open it to the public. This is a public portion where anyone from the public can speak on anything that we are going to vote on in our regular meeting. It's only the time people can ask, comment, whatever, on things that we are going to vote on. Do I have a motion to open to the public?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it is now open to the public. Jim, I'm going to ask the public in here right now first, if you don't mind. Is there anybody here in the chambers that would like to ask any questions or have any comments on the things that we discussed thus far? I have no one in the courtroom that wants to discuss anything, so you can see if there's anybody out there in Zoom.
Sandra, do you have a question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just would like some clarification about the barbecuing on the beach. Is that just on the holiday?
No, that is from June 1st to September 30th.
Well, I'd like to speak against that. I go to the beach for fresh air, and people are going to be barbecuing all the time. The odors are going to be horrible.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to support Sandra's idea. I knew it was only on the holidays. I think you're going to get seagulls, more seagulls coming, and daily barbecuing could be a problem.
Thank you very much. Anyone else out there, Jim? Excuse me? Okay. Is there a motion to close public portion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Do I have a motion to close workshop portion of the meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do I have a motion to call to order the regular meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Sounds like a broken record.
I know. Do I have approval of the minutes for May 14, 2020 regular meeting, May 14, 2020 executive, June 11th, 2020 regular, June 25th, 2020 regular, and July 9th, 2020 regular. Do I have a motion to approve these minutes?
Is that also including May 28th regular meeting?
Because I wasn't here.
Gotcha. So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Alegria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Do I have a motion to approve May 28th, 2020 regular meeting?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Alegria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Abstain. Next on the agenda is the ordinance introduction, and that is ordinance 2020-016, and this is the ordinance establishing our salary compensation and salary ranges for the year of 2020.
Make a motion to introduce ordinance 2020-016.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second motion.
Excuse me. Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Alegria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we have a public hearing on ordinance 2020-014, and that is the donation bin. Do I have a motion to open to the public?
Motion to open public ordinance 2020-014.
Do I have a second?
Second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It is now open for a public hearing only on this ordinance, 2020-014, and this is in reference to the donation bin. Anyone else? No. Jim, anyone?
Ordinance 2020-014.
internal report. I do not see anyone.
Okay. Do I have a motion to close public hearing?
Motion to close.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is the adoption of ordinance 2020-014. Do I have a motion to adopt the ordinance?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2020-014.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Mr. Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we have a public hearing on ordinance 2020-015, and this is on amending 72-6 beaches, which is the barbecue. Do I have a motion to open to the public hearing?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone here from the public like to speak on that? I don't see anyone in the courtroom, Jim, so if anybody else is out there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
It's very confusing to follow what you're voting on as you're going through the items. What currently are you asking for public opinion on?
Ordinance 2020-015, which is amending 72-6 beaches, which is barbecue.
Oh, the barbecue one now?
Yes. At the beginning, when we start our meeting, we have a workshop. That's when we go into detail on what we're discussing. Now, this is this is our regular meeting where we actually vote.
Okay. My only comment is, since it's going to impact so many people, I would think that this needs to be publicized and maybe voted on a referendum. People are going to be very upset when this starts to happen, and I don't want to sound like a complainer or somebody that puts ideas just down, but
you're not complaining. You're voicing your opinion, and we welcome that. But this is not something that we don't want a referendum. This is something that the commission. We were voted into office to deal with certain ordinances. It was everything that we meet on is advertised. Our agendas are on the website, and everything, just as I said at the beginning of the meeting, that we do everything in accordance with the law. Everything's out there. People, resources are there. They can look at it. Now there's a meeting. We discussed this 2 weeks ago at a meeting. When we introduced the ordinance, now tonight we have the public hearing and then the adoption. So there's a lot of opportunity out there, and I respect your concern and opinion, but I don't really see people barbecuing 7 days a week, nor do I see every person on the beach barbecuing. I really don't see that. I don't know. I could be very wrong, but this is something that we thought about, and I think so much has been taken away from people since February that we need some balance for people to enjoy life a little bit. And the beach is wide open, it's an open space. So this is something that we thought long and hard on, and we feel that it is in the best interest for the majority of our residents. So I thank you. Anyone else out there have anything to say?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I just was wondering, does that mean they can barbecue all day long?
They can barbecue on the beach from 10 to 6, I think. Am I correct?
10 to 6.
When the beaches are protected by lifeguards.
And to be clear, what was missed in this conversation, this is only gas grill.
This is only gas grill.
So it's pretty actually inconvenient to bring a gas grill to the beach. It's the fit of the process. So it's something that usually happens when there's a larger groups, and it doesn't happen. It's not like barbecue grills.
It's not the coals, it's not, right.
Hang on. So it's not barbecue grills with coals and open flame. These are gas grills, which can be somewhat cumbersome to bring to the beach, and it's not done very often. It's usually done on the weekends. And for my opinion, it's sporadically at best. Right. So we will monitor it with the beach patrol and the police department.
Right, and if we see that it's become a nuisance or there's issues, then we will revisit it.
But again, it's not dragging a small barbecue charcoal grill. It's having a gas grill that can control the flame and not leave open flame.
Right. Anyone else out there? Jim? Okay. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is the adoption of ordinance 2020-015, amending 72-6. Do I have a motion to adopt the ordinance?
Motion to adopt ordinance 2020-15. I have a couple of comments just on it, from my standpoint. So, we didn't just come up with this idea on our own. We were approached by people. There are people who come here during the week and go to the beach, and when we be able to enjoy a barbecue when it's not a holiday weekend? We've always allowed them on holidays. We opened it up, I think, last year to an extra holiday, frankly. To every weekend, I think, last year, right?
Every weekend.
So this will allow people who come down during the week to enjoy barbecue at the beach. And Commissioner Kriegel's right. I mean, they have small gas grills that people bring down, but it is an effort to make it. So it's not something you can't just bring a little hibachi down and lay up with the coals. It's a process, and like the mayor said, I don't see this happening every day. We want to have the opportunity for people to enjoy the outdoors and grill on our beach. So that's,
especially if they're down for a week, they're renting, that sort of thing. Yeah. It's not, like you said, we did have it every weekend last year. There were no issues.
There were no issues. And also this year, with outdoor dining and limited space for people to go somewhere, you know, it gives them a little more extra convenience.
Agreed.
To be able to have something on the beach. Okay, so.
So I made the motion to introduce.
Thank you. To adopt, right?
To adopt, sorry.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriegel?
Yes.
Commissioner Mayweather?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we will adopt resolution by consent 2020-236 to 2020-248. Do I have a motion to adopt the resolution?
Motion to adopt resolutions 2020-236 to 248.
Second motion.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next, we have a separate resolution is, 2020-250, and that is the resolution approving an agreement contract for the Surf School Camp and Ocean Safety Instruction Camp concession. Do I have a motion to, do I have a motion to adopt the resolution?
So with conditions?
Oh, yeah, with the conditions of workman compensation approved by the city prior to any activity. Correct, Tim? By the city and the insurance provider. Right?
I will make that motion.
You make the motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Okay, next we have approval of bills and payroll. Our CFO, Al, you please give us the amount of bills and payroll.
Yes, the amount for the payroll is $660,301.26. And the amount of the bills in this period is $2,151,289.57.
Do I have a motion to approve bills and payroll stated by our CFO?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes.
Mayor Holtzman?
Yes. Next we have announcements for commissioners' comments and reports. So we need to combine them lately. So Commissioner Langria?
Sure. So a couple of things. If you were in Snake Alley today, you weren't in Snake Alley because we had a doubleheader today. So we had sewer line break that we saw earlier in the week. We brought in our team as well as one of our utility contractors in to repair that. In doing so, they found a water service leak down near the old Derby Boathouse. That was dumping water also into that same sewer line.
Derby Hall.
Yeah, call it Derby Boathouse or Derby Hall. So we will come back and we repaired that leak, but we have to make some other repairs in that line. It'll be back there tomorrow, so there will be additional delays and detours through Winchester Avenue, Derby, which is locally known as Snake Alley. Not named after Snake John Connor, but because of the shape of the road. Just to follow the same utility stuff, water usage. So we all know we've been more crowded since March. That was verified in June. So our June water usage is usually about 40 million gallons a month, 50 million gallons per month. So we're up 10 million gallons in that 1 month. So there's a lot of people in the island.
Yeah.
So, we have plenty of water, doing great, our towers are full, pumps are working great, wells are doing good. We rebuilt two of them. So we're, yeah, why'd I even say that? It's not Friday yet.
So, exactly.
I was talking with Ed Stinson at our meeting on Tuesday morning, right? He said his first, like, 8 weeks here, every Friday or every holiday, something broke. Something broke.
You're right.
It was
trial
by fire.
Yeah, it's usually a
It is. And then just a comment, and you brought it up earlier, Mayor, outdoor dining. You know, we've done a lot of things to help our restaurants in the community, in the city, with closing some streets, allowing some use of parking areas in front of their restaurants, using the sidewalks to a greater extent than they were in the past. We've done that, and we really need to reach out to these restaurants. I'm doing that tonight. I'm going to do that personally again to reach out to them. They really have to work back with us a little bit. They're taking up a little bit too much space on the sidewalks. They have to make sure they're social distancing with those tables.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reach out to them again and ask them to kind of work with us. We've had some pushback with allowing pedestrians to get through these areas. You know, we've kept Chief Biagi and Captain Fussner and his team pretty busy. And they've done great. It's just a matter of we need to now ask them to work back with us a little bit, meeting the restaurants.
And comply with the executive order of our governor.
Right. The CDCs and making sure everybody's wearing a mask that works there and that the tables are far enough apart.
Yeah.
Crowd control, things of that nature. So, and as we said this is a fluid process. It's a learning curve for all of us, including the restaurants.
Yeah.
And they're getting it. They're getting it slowly. But I would ask them, and I will reach out to the ones that are, they're using the sidewalks and these spaces to be a little bit more concerned with pedestrians and neighbors, with noise and things of that nature. You know, we've seen some great entertainment happening on some of our streets with singing and acoustic guitars and things. That's great. We've got to keep it to a minimum so we're not damaging the environment of our neighbors in that area. So we'll reach out to those.
We still want to keep the image of Ventnor.
We do. We do. And right now, it's pretty good. We're one of the leaders in allowing a lot of this to happen.
Right.
And we knew there was going to be some pushback.
Right.
I also asked on the other side of that, our residents that live in that area, be a little bit, you're going to have to bear with it a little bit. We apologize for that. If we lose these businesses during this time, it's going to be really difficult to get them back. We've done a lot in the last 5 years to get these businesses here, these restaurants here. You know, we're starting to be known as a little bit of a restaurant community, and that's great. We have to help them. They've got to help us back a little bit now, but we have to be a little more, we understand it's an inconvenience for residents in those areas, but we really need to try and work with these businesses and get them to work back with us. But
it's all about balance.
It is, and right now it's a difficult balance. It is. Yes. These guys are hurting, and we want to make sure they stay open.
Yeah, because once the fall comes, there's no indoor dining.
It's going to be difficult.
It's going to be very difficult.
It's going to be difficult. So, thank you.
You're welcome. Commissioner Friedman?
Yeah. I will actually, in reverse order, talk about the three things that he brought up, street dining, from a public safety standpoint, uniform enforcement is important to us. That, like you had mentioned, Mayor, that the governor's orders requires 6 feet apart, it requires tables, it requires limiting the tables to 8, and it requires all the restaurant employees to wear masks. Those are non-negotiable requirements, but I think we all.
They are not.
And again, and you also mentioned the image amendment. So going forward, because this COVID response to our outdoor dining has kind of been a thrust upon us, after this summer is over, I'd like to propose that a prototype of a park that has more of an image of Ventnor in mind, something that would incorporate the finishes that we see in Ventnor on the boardwalk as the decking, the railings that we see on the boardwalk as the railings that could be prototyped by our public works department. I'm already working on some of the designs, and that it could be used off county roads as a way to sort of showcase them and incorporate the restaurants to potentially pay for those to be built. and then we could have somehow work out an arrangement that we could incorporate this. I think your comment about Vendor being a restaurant community, it would enhance that. It would be, people would come and see a brand in Vendor that they have a boardwalk, that they have parklets, that they built the design on the boardwalk, and it could be a Vendor. So I'd like to work on that.
Sounds good.
You mentioned water. Not only is our call, not only is our water usage up, but our call volume's way up. It's probably in the same proportion.
Yep.
So that's something that we should all be aware of, especially since the code is relaxing a little bit, police, fire, everything has increased. And then to that effect, Snake Alley, we're working on, with the residents there, new crosswalks and blinking lights on blinking flashlight, flashing spot.
So I was in Bradenton last night for a planning board meeting over there, and when driving around the one of the sites, and I'll have to get a picture of it for you. It's actually a stop sign that has a solar ray on top of it.
Right.
A red LED right around it, and it flashes.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at doing there, a larger version of that, because that is, we have approximately 100 stops since the neighborhood reached out to us, and approximately 50 tickets left.
Wow.
On that corner. So, rightfully so, the neighborhood spoke up and we took action that night. There were stops happening after they came out. So,
we took action.
Yeah.
Not great that people got stopped.
Yeah.
Well, the
pencil will swing both ways. Yeah. Again, with the three time, we all have to kind of find the middle.
Exactly.
So, two more items. Station one is open and operating. It has been. Communications are up and running there. We are on final punch list items there that are more cosmetic. However, I would suggest that we wait until the dedication until the final electronic sign is up, which is going to be later, and then the sign on the building itself is up, so that we're not, that it's done.
Right.
And that'll help us work through the...
You're talking about station two.
Station two, I'm sorry. Station two.
I agree.
So you agree.
Yes.
So we'll just sit tight on that. So it's, and then I have one last thing. I just want to thank, if I can share my screen, thanks, Jim. Is that right? Can you let me share screen for a second, Jim? Those disabled participants, screen share. Okay. Here we go. Sorry, I threw that to Jim. You there? Can you hear me?
He's muted. That's muted.
That's okay. All right. One last thing that I want to comment on is this signage. So back a month ago, it was probably a year ago. It was probably more than a year ago. We were all kind of disappointed in the visual noise, and I guess need any more on the boardwalk. So I worked with Public Works and a local graphic designer, Lori Coliani, to clean up the visual noise on the boardwalk. So I sent this brief saying that we have a number of signs on the boardwalk that include things that are just not happening anymore. Town watches, mixed messages, dog walking hours that are no longer valid or confusing. We have signs on the entrance ramps that are bent over. So what you're gonna see is all these red marked X signs are going out, they're leaving, and we replaced them with what I think is an attractive design. I think we can all agree is a group of signage that is, here, let me put this one on. So, it's a group of signs, hang on, one second, that have, here we go, this. So, there's two signs. One is a 24 by 24 that has information that is always consistent throughout the year. And then there are two 24 by 36 signs. one right now that's up, says lifeguards on duty, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., June 1st to Labor Day, beach badges required, and the bicycle hours. To avoid some of the redundancy and the confusion, we have a second sign that will be replaced after Labor Day. It says swimming prohibited, because lifeguards are off duty. And it changes the sign, it changes the times of the bikes. It changes the dogs that are permitted ocean edge, and but leashes are on at all times. So that's what you're gonna see, that's what you can see now, is these blue signs in a group, the 24 by 24 will always be there, and seasonally this 24 by 36 will be changed now. So I think we did a little bit to beautify and simplify the board along, and everything, and we changed, kept the color the same, so that's I think a victory in terms of less visual.
Very clean.
Yep.
Tim, they look great.
They do.
The lead on this was phenomenal, and it took a while, but we got it right.
It took a while.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's take a while.
That's
we're,
right.
We're government. We go if we have to take a while.
That's
we
right.
Don't, then people look at us.
Yes, exactly.
But they look great. We've got great comments on them.
Good.
I did find out why the vaults were where they are. Did Ed call you?
No.
Those were pre-drilled holes.
Right.
Because if they would have drilled after they put the laminate on, it would have torn.
Right.
So they had to be.
All right.
So
that was my one complaint.
I know.
They went through the holes of where the words are, but we sorted that out. But all in all, I think it's a great improvement. I think that visually, we chose the same blue as the street sign, so I'd like to keep all the signs that same blue, because I think
that's... No green, right?
No green. No. But it's something that people see.
I like the blue.
You don't notice all of the signs.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. They look beautiful. Anything else? Okay. Next we have the public comment. This is for anyone that would like to speak on anything. So do I have a motion to open the public comment portion?
Motion to open public.
Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, this is open to the public. Jim, is there anybody out there that would like to say anything? Hello?
Yep.
Hold on.
Okay.
Sandra is up first.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, thank you. In listening, I learned the answer to one of my questions, which was, were the rules regarding dogs on the beach changed recently? Because I see dogs on the beach now. And, of course, they're not always at the water's edge, and they're not always on a leash. And I was just wondering two things about dogs. How are we enforcing that? Besides calling the police on people, like for smokers, I mean, how is that getting enforced? Because people, from my view, a lot of people, feel as though rules don't apply to them, it only applies to other people. That was one question I had. How does that get enforced? And are dogs permitted on the boardwalk? Because I see people walking the dogs on the boardwalk.
Dogs are never allowed on the boardwalk. They're allowed on the beach. Right now in the summertime between 7 and 9. They're supposed to be the water line. They're supposed to be on the leash. We do have some police on the boardwalk to look at things like this. And unfortunately, you're probably not going to like my answer, but I'm going to be very honest with you. We do not have a police department of hundreds of officers. We have staffing we need for the city. And, you know, besides the beach and the boardwalk and dogs not being allowed there, or people smoking a cigarette on the boardwalk. Right now with COVID, I am constantly receiving communications where residents want me to do something because people are not wearing a mask on the boardwalk. Unfortunately, ma'am, we the commission cannot control human behavior, nor can we control the fact that people just want to defy the law. We wish we could be everywhere at all times, but we cannot. For us to be everywhere at all times and to increase staffing, to have a force of police officers on the beach and boardwalk, for the people that do bring their dogs, that they shouldn't bring their dogs, or they don't pick up after their dogs, or they smoke, or they do not wear a mask when they're in large groups on the boardwalk, we would have to increase our police department triple, which would increase the tax base probably by, what else, 15, 20 cents?
At least.
You would see a huge tax increase. So as I said, I apologize because you're not going to like what I had to say, but I'm being very honest. It all comes down to dollars. For us to be able to enforce everything that I just mentioned, we would need a much larger police department that we have right now. And that would give us a much larger budget, and that would give you a much larger tax bill. As I said earlier, with another topic, we're all about the balance. So I really wish people would follow the rules. The rules do apply to everyone. Unfortunately, it's human behavior, and I don't have the power to fix that or control it, nor does anybody in the commission. So I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Can I add?
They see dogs on the boardwalk when they know that they're not living on the boardwalk.
Right.
But what I wanted to suggest for consideration is do what other towns are doing and see if we could get a specials officers.
We have them, ma'am.
We have special officers.
Yes, we do.
Well, I know that there's a lot of kids, a lot of young men and women who want to have careers in law enforcement, and maybe we could get some sort of volunteer patrol going so that, you know, with radios, and then if they see a problem, they can call an officer to come. It's very hard to put this responsibility on the citizen to speak up and tell people about the rules and what they should have done. They shouldn't smoke, or please don't smoke, or, you know, because in today's political climate, some people out there are really nuts.
Can I respond?
So,
yes. Commissioner Kriebel, who oversees public safety, he would like to respond and give you a little insight, too. Commissioner
Kriebel. Thanks, Ms. Horowitz. So, I think, first of all, you're absolutely right. You should not engage in telling people that they're doing something wrong, because in this environment they could react unpleasantly and could be a worse problem. But as the mayor said, we do have a police force that's exactly the right size for Ventnor, and we do respond to these types of calls. So the first thing you should do is call the non-emergency line at the city hall, and we do have specials. We do have patrols on the boardwalk and the beach that can address these types of things when it's appropriate, and their needs as law enforcement are not required in other ways. You know, the mayor's 100% right. There, Ventnor may seem like a sleepy little town, but we have hundreds of calls. We have calls every hour. We have dozens of calls every hour. The specials that we do have are limited this year because the academies were not open until very late, and you may be surprised there aren't as many qualified individuals that are interested in being in law enforcement, and a lot of them get picked up by the larger cities quickly that have more resources, like Wildwood, to pay for those in Atlantic City.
The CRDA pays for.
So it does, in a lot of ways, come down to money. We do not want to, I think I can speak to the chief, we do not want to enlist the public in a neighborhood watch on this type of thing. We would rather you contact, I know they're not going to like you for saying this, but put them on speed dial. And I agree with you. I'm a person that I think is always frustrated by people not following the rules.
Yeah.
But in their defense, the signage on the boardwalk was conflicting. The signage on the boardwalk was hard to read. And the people that I have confronted as a public safety officer would say that they were unaware, they're from out of town. That's not always true. And I can tell you there are a number of people that have gotten tickets because they were repeat offenders walking their dogs on the boardwalk.
So we are, as a city, one of the most lenient in terms of allowing dogs on our beach. You are not allowed in Margie and during the season whatsoever. Longport in the entire year whatsoever. I don't know what Atlantic City's rules are.
Winter.
In the winter. So we are we don't feel like this is the type of thing that we have a tremendous amount of dog owners, and it's a small. We feel it's a small price to pay to give them a little bit of time with their animals on the beach. So.
Let's go on record that I'm vehemently against having dogs walk on the beach, especially when there are still people on the beach and kids, and I have the waste of the dog. I mean, I just can't believe that we allow it. But the main thing is that our police should not be responding to dog walkers, you know, complaints about dog walkers and smokers and people who violate the rules.
I disagree.
Our police should be reserved to maintain that our community is safe. I mean, there's just so many awful things that are happening out there, and they should be disciplined and
right. We agree.
That is the only venue of enforcement.
But community policing is a part of what they do as well.
Exactly.
Again, it's not one way or the other. They can keep responding and being efficient, but also respond to things that aren't emerging.
Sure.
They haven't changed. It's been that way. The rules of the beach for the dogs being able to be on the beach after the beaches are closed at 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock.
At night.
The fact that they have to pick up after themselves, they still have to do that. And it's after people leave off the beach. They're not allowed to have their dogs on the beach during beach open time.
Sandra, can you please, Sandra?
And you're right, there is a sign that says that incorrectly. And now we hope that this will clear it up.
Sandra, can you please state your address? Because when anyone speaks, I know it's a little, we're losing a little bit with Zoom, but before anyone speaks, they have to state their name and their address.
15
South Washington. Thank you. Is that it, Lisa? Okay. Thank you, Sandra. Stay safe. Okay, whoever else is going to speak, please state your name and your address before you speak so we have it for the record.
Hi, I'm
Marlene
A. And my address is 25,000.
Thank you. Was a neighbor, and I felt like, am I really going to call the police?
on a neighbor. It was very uncomfortable. So, I don't know, it's like, I think you guys do a great job with the beach checkers for the beach day.
Thank you.
But it's a little different because of COVID and all that, but normally, you know, I've had beach checkers come to me and say, can I give you a badge, and I'll show them. That has worked so well. I know the lifeguards are not responsible for, like, smokers or dogs, but I just wonder in the future, not maybe not this year, but in the future, thinking about, is there a way that you could have young people, like Sandra said, be just walked over to the people? I saw a dog on the beach all day, yesterday I went to the beach. The dog was all day with them under the tent.
Well, the first, not to interrupt you, Marlene, but if sometimes if people have a service dog under federal law, they can be anywhere and everywhere, and for you and with Sandra, I mean, honestly, my position as a mother, as a mayor, I, and I'm sure the commissioners, as commissioners and fathers, I would not have young people interact with people that are violating an ordinance for the governor's executive order. I mean, I think Sandra said she doesn't feel that she doesn't want to say something to someone about smoking or whatever because of the political climate and what and how people can react. Well, as long as I'm in office, and I think my commissioners would agree with me, having young people try to enforce no smoking, no dogs, wear a mask, social distance is not something that I would even think of. Because honestly, our beach checkers are great, but if you only knew the kind of verbal abuse that they have to deal with every summer, it would basically blow your mind. So I would not, as long as I am in office, I would not ever have a young people to try and enforce things that, as Commissioner people said, is part of the police. So, you know, she just, Sandra didn't want to deal with, you know, doesn't, I know, but you don't feel comfortable to say something to someone, you don't know how someone's going to react, and I agree with you. We are living in a world that's a little bit upside down right now, but with that, there's no way that I would put young people in a position to try to enforce this. I just want to.
Did anyone else
in the public?
Gerald.
Richard, I have someone here in the chamber. Jim.
Gerald.
Okay, Richard, good morning. State your name and address as you know.
Good evening, Richard Grover, 26 North Wilson Avenue, Ventnor. First of all, I'd like to thank the commissioners and all your staff for the jobs you've been doing, especially since this very difficult time. I remember asking all three of you one time, if you are elected in this time, will you seek more than two terms? And I can see that it can be a thankless job many times. So I've been out of the country during this up until about 4 weeks ago, and been following some of the news and things that are going on, and you've all been beat up at one time or another recently. So, on behalf of the residents that do appreciate what you've been doing, thank you very much. I have a couple of issues. One of them, many of them are old time for me. I had an opportunity to speak to Chief Biagi yesterday by phone. I have probably for the last 15 or 20 years suggested that we line the intersections on Ventnor Avenue with legal crosswalks. But right now, Margate has them, Longport has them, we have them on Atlantic Avenue, we don't have them on Ventnor Avenue, they're only at the red lights. And unfortunately, as you well know, there's a crazy law in this state that says you have to yield to a person in a crosswalk. And unfortunately, then there are people that are not in crosswalks because they don't exist. And I've seen very close situations. I've heard rumors, I don't know if this is true, but someone has told me that maybe Margate may be closing down Atlantic Avenue, possibly. I've heard something to the tune of where Chief Biagi told me about it. That it may be going one lane each way and having a passing lane.
Is that correct?
If I could, Mayor?
Yes.
So that's what's called a road diet. Slimming down.
Slimming down.
We all like to do.
Good.
The pedestrian and bicycle safety report study that was done, almost 5 years ago now. That was one of the recommendations. But it did not go as far as doing a traffic study
to see if that would be the best thing to do for Marty and Ventnor and even Land City, one of Land Haven. So the grant that we just agreed to apply for tonight is applying for funds to do just that type of study. To look and see if that's something that, and we, it's a, I believe it's a joint study between Margate and Ventnor, that we would look at something like that. And what that would be is we take the four lanes, four traffic lanes, and take that down to one lane in each direction with a center turning lane. It also creates what's called a pedestrian respite. So if you're crossing the street at a non-traffic controlled intersection, in a crosswalk, you have a spot to stop. You're not in the middle of traffic. So that would help with pedestrian safety. We did take the almost the required step when we put the bike lanes in to reduce the speed 25 miles an hour on Atlantic. We had some discussions in our last meeting. I think Chief Gowdy talked about it a little bit. It's worked somewhat. You still get the people that are doing 50, but it, for the most part, those radar signs that tell you how fast you're going actually keep track of that. We get a report, it's wirelessly sent into PD, that tells us how many cars are doing what speed. Doesn't tell who is doing it, but it tells how many. And it's worked. It slowed people down for the most part. To your first point on Ventnor Avenue with crosswalks, we had applied for a public safety grant with DOT 2 years ago. We did not get that funding. We applied again this year. We hope to get that funding to be able to put, you know, similar crosswalks on Ventnor Avenue that we have at Land. I will say from Dorset to Margate on Ventnor Avenue, that's a county right-of-way. It's their responsibility to do that. They are in final design stages of totally new traffic control systems there, new traffic lights and things of that nature. And that will also include crosswalks from Dorset towards Margate.
Well, you know, I appreciate that position because anybody that walks across Atlantic Avenue coming from the beach and does not pay, I would never ever step on that road until I see red lights down there because one lane may stop for you, but then there are another lane that doesn't see you. So when I spoke to Chief Biagio about it, so that if that middle, if that happens, their concerns and my concerns are that Ventnor Avenue will wind up also getting heavier traffic if the two lanes are eliminated on Atlantic Avenue. And Chief Biagio, if you speak to him, he will confirm that he and a couple of the officers have spoken about. So just trying to at least put on the table tonight, we tried to get the grant for a couple of years ago. Maybe if that doesn't happen, maybe it's a public works project we could do a couple of a summer or whatever it may be.
So when we do it, it's painful.
Yes.
It don't last very long. You can then the intersection Mr. Friedel was talking about, Derby and Winchester, is a prime example. It's just, it's spray paint. When we do a project that we bid out, we have zone spray for another company like that come in, and they actually do thermal strokes.
Yes.
It's actually adhered to the street and it's reflected. It's a lot safer, and that's what we want to do. It's also expensive.
Well, I agree. At least it's on the table because I think it's, I've honestly, in all honesty, Lance, been suggesting this for about 15 or 20 years.
I've heard it for the last five.
So, okay, so in any event, the other, one thing that I would like to compliment on.
Piggyback on that. I think you're 100% right. The notion of the road diet reduces the number of potential crashes by something like five different scenarios that are no longer even possible or likely when people follow the road diet. The right-hand turn lanes that are stopped, well, there's a number of different things that makes a lot of sense. And he's right. It could potentially put people on other streets. Once they get used to it, it's proven that the road diet actually keeps traffic flowing faster. It's a perception that people have that they're not going to be able to pass somebody. It's human nature that you have to look for. I'm back. But you're 100% right.
Glad to hear that. One other comment. I would like to make the board aware. I think Pam Lerner, our code enforcement officer, does an absolutely fantastic job for the city. And over the years, many of our North Beach residents have been instructed to call me because people are afraid to call on a neighbor because somebody could conceivably say, "Oh, your next door neighbor complained about this." So they call me, and then I call Pam. And I'm going to tell you something, that woman is on it like fire, immediately. Next issue I have, something that I've spoken about for many, many years, and I'd love to throw on the table for maybe for you to consider for future time. I've been back from overseas for I had 9 days on the beach. I did hear somebody comment about the beach badge taken walking up.